Ron, Hermione, Fred and George's heads turned from Sirius to Mrs. Weasley as though following a tennis rally. Ginny was kneeling amid a pile of abandoned butterbeer corks, watching the conversation with her mouth slightly open. Lupin's eyes were fixed on Sirius.
"I don't intend to tell him more than he needs to know, Molly," said Sirius. "But as he was the one who saw Voldemort come back..."
Again there was a collective shudder around the table at the name.
"He has more right than most to..."
"He's not a member of the Order of the Phoenix," said Mrs. Weasley. "He's only 15, and..."
"And he's dealt with as much as most in the Order," said Sirius. "And more than some."
"No one's denying what he's done,"
said Mrs. Weasley, her voice rising, her fist trembling on the arms of her chair.
"But he's still..."
"He's not a child," said Sirius impatiently.
"He's not an adult either,"
said Mrs. Weasley, the colour rising in her cheeks.
"He's not James, Sirius."
"I'm perfectly clear who he is, thanks, Molly," said Sirius coldly.
"I'm not sure you are,"
said Mrs. Weasley.
"Sometimes the way you talk about him is as though you think you've got your best friend back."
"What's wrong with that?" said Harry.
"What's wrong, Harry, is that you are not your father, however much you might look like him,"
said Mrs. Weasley, her eyes still boring into Sirius.
"You are still at school, and adults responsible for you should not forget it."
"Meaning I'm an irresponsible godfather?"
demanded Sirius, his voice rising.
"Meaning you've been known to act rashly, Sirius, which is why Dumbledore keeps reminding you to stay at home and..."
"We'll leave my instructions from Dumbledore out of this, if you please,"
said Sirius loudly.
"Arthur," said Mrs. Weasley, rounding on her husband. "Arthur, back me up."
Mr. Weasley did not speak at once. He took off his glasses and cleaned them slowly on his robes, not looking at his wife. Only when he had replaced them carefully on his nose did he say,
"Dumbledore knows the position has changed, Molly. He accepts that Harry will have to be filled in to a certain extent now that he is staying at headquarters."
"Yes, but there's a difference between that and inviting him to ask whatever he likes."
"Personally,"
said Lupin quietly, looking away from Sirius at last, as Mrs. Weasley turned quickly to him, hopeful that finally she was about to get an ally.
"I think it better that Harry gets the facts. Not all the facts, Molly, but the general picture from us, rather than a garbled version from others."
His expression was mild, but Harry felt sure that Lupin at least knew that some extendable ears had survived Mrs. Weasley's purge.
"Well,"
said Mrs. Weasley, breathing deeply and looking around the table for support that did not come.
"Well, I can see I'm going to be overruled. I'll just say this. Dumbledore must have had his reasons for not wanting Harry to know too much. And speaking as someone who has got Harry's best interests at heart..."
"He's not your son,"
said Sirius quietly.
"He's as good as," said Mrs. Weasley fiercely. "Who else has he got?"
"He's got me."
"Yes,"
said Mrs. Weasley, her lip curling.
"The thing is, it's been rather difficult for you to look after him while you've been locked up in Azkaban, hasn't it?"
Sirius started to rise from his chair.
"Molly, you're not the only person at this table who cares about Harry," said Lupin sharply. "Sirius, sit down."
Mrs. Weasley's lower lip was trembling. Sirius sank slowly back into his chair, his face white.
"I think Harry ought to be allowed a say in this," Lupin continued. "He's old enough to decide for himself."